So think about the service so far. We've had a few moments. Love the music. A video about Operation Christmas Child. We've had a chance to worship God. Brother Gabriel praying his prayer for us. And listening to him at different times where he would say, Papa. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden we just felt like our Heavenly Father was just wrapping us up in His arms. We could stop now and say it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. But I want to challenge you a little bit this morning. Are you willing to take the next 20 or 30 minutes and us do business with God? To just open our hearts to His Word. To let Him speak to us and for us to be willing to let Him change us and to lead us. This series about being wise, foolish, and evil. We know a little bit about all of those things. So let me talk with you for a few moments about foolishness. Foolishness is not a flattering characteristic. It doesn't solve problems. It doesn't advance careers. It doesn't strengthen relationships. Foolishness. What about wisdom? That is an impressive characteristic. Charles Spurgeon has said, "Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom." We can think about it like this. Knowledge is having the facts. Wisdom is applying those facts to life. In a correct and constructive way. Something else about wisdom, especially godly wisdom, that's what helps us to avoid foolishness and evil. So we're going to kind of move in between these different ideas and thoughts today. But before we go any further, let's read the passage that's up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17. Would you please read it with me? So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Amen? So I want to start by focusing on a command, which just simply tells us, don't live like fools. I want you to think for a moment, and I'm not going to ask you to tell us your story, but I want you to think for a moment and see if something comes to mind that you would identify as the most foolish thing you've ever said or done. Just ponder that for a moment. And if you can't come up with something, then ask somebody who knows you to point it out to you, and they can give you a big assist, okay? So, I've got a couple of stories. A man by the name of Joe Williams lives up in Portland. Back earlier this fall, he got a telephone call from the police to let him know that they had found his 1995 Jeep Cherokee that had been stolen a week or so before. When the police found it, the car was sitting on a residential street. The motor was still running. The windshield wipers were on and the heater was on. And they identified the owner by the license plate. They called Joe. So they made arrangements and they brought the vehicle back to his house. So the family starts going through the vehicle. Some interesting things inside. These are some of the things. There was a large stuffed bear now. in the Cherokee. There was a tattoo gun, ink, and rubber gloves. There was a portable cell phone charger. So you get your car back and it's not just your stuff. So he kind of has his teenagers get into the program. They come out to start cleaning out the car. And much to their surprise, they came across an old camera that they had totally forgotten about that had been stored in the glove compartment. And they thought, this is so cool. So the teenagers took the camera and said, we're going to go get these pictures taken or developed. And they were really thinking, can you imagine going back a number of years and seeing some of those old family pictures? So when they come back home with their pictures, they said, Dad, you're not going to believe the pictures we have. These were the last ones on the roll. Take a look. The people who stole the car took selfies and left the camera in the car. So, Joe, he posts the pictures on Facebook and he added this caption, anyone recognize these Einsteins? When I read that story this week, I thought about a verse out of Numbers. Be sure your sin will find you out. Even without selfies. Another story. The title on this story was, Man Rams Armored Vehicle into Shop Just for One Bottle of Wine. Wow. So check this picture out. And there was another caption that says, he was tanked. So here's the story. The man's intoxicated. And we're talking now about northern Russia, up near the Arctic Circle. And somehow he makes his way onto private property, which is a training ground. And he steals this tank. So that's his idea of a joyride. He drives it through the forest. He eventually drives it into this little town. And he gets stuck on this little narrow street. And he's trying to maneuver. And he actually crashes into the back of a person's sedan. And then it pushes into the storefront. He opens the hatch and he gets out. And he just looks around at everything that he's done. And then he comes down off the tank. Goes in through the broken glass and everything, takes a bottle of wine, and starts working his way out when the police show up. Here's another photo. Would you have wanted that to be your car? Or your store? Fortunately for him, the story says he didn't resist arrest. How old do you think he was?
55.
79.
He was in his 20s.
But he knew how to drive a tank.
I don't know the backstory on, but another verse came to mind out of the book of Proverbs. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. So, understanding wisdom and foolishness. When I think about wisdom, this is something that I've kind of put together. Wisdom is the mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity to see life, understand life, and live life from God's perspective. So foolishness obviously goes in the other direction. It is the blindness and the waywardness of not seeing life or understanding life. And therefore, living life from your perspective instead of God's. Do you ever feel like you're torn a little bit? On one moment, you're nailing it. On one moment, you're seeing it correctly. On one moment, you're saying and doing the right thing. And people may just be startled at your display of wisdom. And then the very next moment, the very same person, we're sliding sideways. We're off the rails. We're in the ditch. And what we're saying and doing is anything but what God would put His stamp of approval on. There's a minister that I started following a number of years ago. Used to pastor a church in Canada. He's still in ministry and doing different things. I read some statements that he wrote about foolishness that I'm going to share with you. And I actually shared these a month or so ago in our monthly prayer service. But I want us to be honest with ourselves, folks. I want to read this to you, not in a way to try to beat you up, not in a way to try to put you down. I want to read this to you because I think it brings a lot of clarity for all of us about what foolishness is really all about. And maybe God would help us to latch on to these thoughts and realities. And maybe with God's help, He could move all of us away from foolishness and start moving us toward wisdom. Here's what I read. Foolish people encounter truth and don't change. Instead, they try to adjust the truth so that they don't have to adjust to it. Confronted with a problem, a foolish person will deny, blame, minimize, generate excuses, and do anything in his or her power to avoid having to deal with reality. And I stop there for a moment, but listen to me, please. How many of us have been guilty of ignoring the elephant in the room? How many of us have been guilty of thinking all we have to do is sweep it under the rug? How many of us have been guilty of pretending like it never happened or thinking it will never happen again? Foolishness, this minister said, they don't learn and rarely grow. Foolish people have a flat learning curve. As a result, they tend to wreak a lot of havoc and cause damage in their own lives and in the lives of others. Again, I want us to do business with God for a moment. How many of us, out of our own foolishness, that's been true about us, we've wreaked a lot of havoc and we've brought a lot of harm and damage to others? Are we willing to face it, work through it, and make the necessary changes? How many of us has been that person that the best way to describe what it was like, we were the collateral damage because someone else lost their temper. Someone else couldn't control their tongue. And everything that they said and did, it did not edify. It did not help. And we just happened to be the target for whatever was going on in their life that they couldn't manage well. And in all their foolishness, they caused great harm. They may mean well, but their lack of learning means they keep making things hard for themselves and others. This particular man goes on and he says, some broke people will always be broke. Some chronic procrastinators will always be late. Some people keep running into the same problems again and again. Could I just say, for all of our benefit today, God, please help us. Help us to move out of our foolishness. Help us to move into your wisdom. Foolishness? It comes from our selfishness. Foolishness? It comes from our stubbornness. Foolishness? It comes from our silliness. Foolishness? It comes from our sinfulness. And I want to say to you, as well as I say to myself, unless we lean into God and we find His wisdom and we receive His grace, there is no telling how foolish any of us can be and how much harm we can cause to ourselves and others. Could we be so brave to say, Papa, hold your word up in front of me. Help me to not just see the words, but help me to understand the truth. Help me to see my life and life from your perspective and not mine. Help me to be that person who maybe today, like no other day before, maybe today, you would be that person that before you ever got out of this service, you would really and truly say to God, God, I have been so foolish in so many ways. God, please help me to change. I know that you can help me to be a better man, a better woman. I know you can help me. Let me push on this a little more for us, okay? Are you all right? Take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Let's move into some other verses. Isaiah 5:21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. What opens the door to foolishness in our lives? It's our opinion about what is right and wrong, regardless of what God's word says. We've chosen to live life on our terms. We balk and we push back at anyone who wants to challenge us or to correct us. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Their opinion about what is right and wrong is all that really matters to them. All of us have opportunities. You don't just have to be a preacher to have this experience. You have someone that you care about and you realize and understand and see they are messing their life up over and over and over again. You pray about it. You try to talk with them about it. And God gives you enough courage that in a particular instance where they're really just out in left field, so to speak, you decide to speak up. And the Bible says that foolish person is going to shut you down. They're going to push back. They're going to tell you to not speak. I've had that happen to me. And I've said this before. More times than not, I'll lead with a question. And I've had people get angry because I just simply asked them an honest question. The Bible says that is foolishness on the rampage. If we're not willing to listen to someone else, hear them out, if we're not willing to entertain their correction or their instruction, we're too full of ourselves. Hopefully we've all had those experiences where we've also tried to talk with somebody and our motivation was love. It wasn't pride. We wanted the best for them. We weren't just trying to put them down. And so we took that risk and we asked those questions. We made those statements. And instead of them pushing back, they listened. You could tell by their countenance that their heart was softening instead of getting harder. And you knew there was some hope. And you felt better about maybe the way things could be from where and what they had been. That's wisdom at work. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. This is the kind of person who would say, getting drunk or high can't hurt me. This is the kind of person who would say, extramarital or premarital sex isn't really all that bad. This is the kind of person who would say, prioritizing money and pleasure is the way to get the most out of life. This is the kind of person who would say, loving my enemies and forgiving those who hurt me are unnecessary burdens. These are the people who would say, God isn't concerned about whether or not I'm humble, honest, and holy. These are the church-going people who would say, I can still be a good Christian without reading the Bible, without talking to God, without loving and serving others, without giving to support God's work, without going to church, and without sharing the good news. Can we all just stop and say, God, thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for your mercy. But I would caution any of us, it is foolishness to presume upon God's patience and mercy. Let me share this quote with you again from Rick Warren. I think I've put it up in each of these messages. Let's read it together. Let's jump into it. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. I can't tell you how many times in my few years that I've honestly prayed, God, help me not to be foolish. Not to say and do dumb things. I don't know how many times I've had to go back to God and say, okay, God, that was foolish. That was dumb. Please forgive me. Help me. Help me. I don't want to live my whole life and never become fully engaged with His purpose for me. I don't want to live my whole life and know what that purpose is and never pursue it with all my heart. And for anyone in this room today who professes to be a Christian, let me tell you what God's end game is. For you and me and every other believer to become just like Jesus. It is foolishness when we're working away from that. It is wisdom when we are running after that. Philip Yancey Man, I marvel at the giftedness God has given to some people. Any of you ever feel like, well, I just got left out? I mean, it's like, yeah. It's always one of those reality checks when your world expands a little bit and all of a sudden you realize you were just a fish, a big fish in a very, very little pond. That can be kind of humbling, can't it? Philip Yancey. I can tell you all kinds of amazing things about him. Earlier this year, he went on a trip to Lebanon and to Syria. And the trip he was on had a humanitarian twist to it, but it was also deeply spiritual. So he flies into Beirut. And one of the roads that he travels on, is what the Bible refers to as the Damascus Road, going into Syria. They pass nearby the place that is assumed by tradition to be where Paul had his conversion. In Syria, they venture into this town. It was a town that the Syrian forces laid siege to. Every day of that siege, that city was bombed. There were over 6,000 people that died, and they lost count of all the other people that were injured. We talk about, and we get all worked up about immigration and people crossing our borders. I go back to the conversation, have we ever walked a mile in their shoes? Refugees camps set up around this place. Filled with Muslims. Filled with people that others looked at as being enemies for all kinds of reasons. So Philip Yancey is connected with some churches there. And the pastor tells him, we have people in our church that we call MBBs. Muslim background believers. They have a discussion. Why do they become believers? Because in their circumstances, in their geography, these are the kind of things that happen. You say yes to Jesus, you become public about this. Families will shun you. Murder threats are made against you. Women have their children taken away. Those who don't have children, they are confined to their homes. It's like detention. Two words that we seldom hear around here, really. You profess faith in Christ and you're ostracized or you're persecuted. So Philip Yancey is talking with a pastor and saying, why? And I don't know if you've heard this story. I began to hear these stories several years ago, and the frequency is becoming more and more. Two reasons why Muslims and these places of the world are willing to risk it all. One is, this blows me away, reoccurring story. They have a vision or a dream of a person in white calling them to come. And they find out that person is Jesus. Damascus Road all over again. all over again. The second reason, they are wowed by the love of the Christians in those places, even for their enemies. We want to shoot them. We want to lock them up. Starve them to death. Bomb them. Philip Yancey, this pastor, are talking, and they got on this whole conversation about love and how that is changing things where they are. Look at this quote. This is what this pastor said. Once our church got to know the refugees, though, we felt compassion for them. They have lost everything and live in a kind of limbo, people without a country. So we converted this indoor parking lot into a school that now educates 650 kids. Not all of our neighbors approve. We've been to court many times. But Jesus' love wins. When are we going to stop hating and just start loving? When are we going to let wisdom grip our hearts? And please understand this, reading from the book of James. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. There's no darkness. There's no impurity in it. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. I read verses like that and it breaks me down, because it still shows me how foolish I can be and how unwise I can be. So a couple of verses and a quote and we'll wrap it up. Check out this verse out of Proverbs 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of the Lord goes two ways. On one hand, if you're halfway smart, you should be afraid of living life on your terms and ignoring God. The consequences are not going to be good. There is a fear factor here. The other side of the fear of the Lord, it is to be in awe of Him. You can't get over how good He is, how awesome He is, how real He is. And it's like you just go through your day mesmerized at who your papa really is. Here's the other verse. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. I gave you that crazy illustration last week about Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz and that movie scene or picture. When it comes to truly wisdom, left to ourselves, our wisdom can get about right here. With God, our wisdom can go off the charts. So I just want to ask you, here or here? Here or here? It's that simple. And if you want to get into it, let me just give you this suggestion. Go to BibleGateway.com, type in the word wisdom, pick out which translation you want to see that word in, and look at all the different places in the Bible you'll find that word, and read and study about what God calls His wisdom. And there is a contrast, because the Bible says the wisdom of this world is not anything like His. So here's the quote. It comes from Charles Spurgeon. We'll go back to him. I need to hear this again today. After many years of great mercy, after tasting the powers of the world to come, we still are so weak, so foolish. But oh, when we get away from self to God, there all is truth and purity and holiness, and our hearts find peace, wisdom, completeness, delight, joy, victory. Anybody want to come back home? Anybody want to get closer to God? Or you just want to be dumb and foolish? No! 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 I pray for all of us and I beg all of us today. Let's leave the foolishness behind and let's pursue God and ask Him to give us His wisdom. Amen?